You're listening to the Foul Ball Area Podcast with Matthew Atkins, now available on Spotify, SoundCloud, Podbean, and Apple Podcasts. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest episode of the Foul Ball Area Podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Atkins, pleased to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Trey Lyle, coming to us from Kansas. Trey, how are you doing this lovely day?
Pretty good. We record these on Tuesdays afternoon, so beginning of the week for me, because I start my week on Tuesdays through Saturday at work at the radio station, so pretty good so far. How are you doing, Matt?
I'm doing all right. I'm hanging out at my girlfriend Mariah's house. Today is her birthday, so hanging out with her for the beginning of the week. Spent the weekend at her bay house. I know we talked about this a little bit last week. It's on the Chesapeake Bay. Her family calls it a river house, but spent the weekend there, and it was a pretty good, relaxing weekend. And I'm ready to talk some baseball now because there's surprisingly a lot of stuff to talk about this week.
Yeah, definitely so. It's shocking how much there's talk about when the hopes of a 2020 season might not happen.
Yeah. Let's just dive right into it. You said the 2020 season might not happen. MLB did come out with another proposal on how to play the 2020 season, and it consists of 76 games. The players would get paid 75% of their prorated salary, and the players are not fans of it. Carl Ravich of ESPN was the first one to report on this plan, and he said it was a significant move towards what the players want. And then the players come out and say, no, it's not. This is not what we want at all. So it still doesn't seem like we're any closer to a deal.
I think we are a little bit closer. I think Jeff Passan pointed something out with the math. Like, the owners won 50-50, and the way this worked out, it was 50-50 again. You know, it says 75% of the prorated salary because of the increase in games compared to how it would work out exactly. I don't know. I thought I had a lot of hope. I think I don't get why you can't do 82 at the full prorated rate. That's kind of where I've been sitting at. I think that's what might happen. I think maybe 82 at the 75% rate could happen. I think we're a little bit closer. I think we're starting to turn the curve. But I just think, especially with now the NBA definitely is coming back, the NHL is definitely coming back, I'm really scared for baseball. They're not going to come back. If someone asked me 2 weeks ago, I'd say yes. And I think right now I'm a hard maybe.
Yeah, well, both sides need to realize how much damage they're going to do to the game and to their fan base if they can't work out a deal. And if every other sport comes back, if the NFL, the NHL, and the NBA all find ways to play this year and Major League Baseball doesn't, that's going to do a lot of damage to their fan base, to the sport. I mean, they need to be growing the sport. We talked about this 2 weeks ago with marketing their players, how they need to be doing a better job at that. Well, you can't market your players if you're not playing. So both sides need to figure out a deal, figure out how to get some kind of 2020 season. And the longer we wait, the fewer games there are going to be. The players wanted 114 games, but the longer they wait to get a deal, the fewer games that we're going to end up having. So if they want an 82 game season, they need a deal soon.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think they're not going to start July 4th when they wanted to. Like, they need to be in spring training now, and it's not going to happen. We're going late July, and you could argue, but they need to get this done soon, or they're not going to start before basketball starts. And I think that's a bad thing. I think you really needed to have baseball on the airway so you could get this uninterrupted, basically, play. Because as soon as the NBA starts, it's playoff basketball, basically. I know they have the 8-game regular season, but it's basically playoff basketball. And then in hockey, you have playoff hockey. And I know probably more people are going to watch playoff basketball than there are regular season baseball, but you're going to be close with a playoff hockey as well, because it's going to be all day. They're playing both teams, since they're going to one or two sites, it's going to be, you're going to have games from morning to night. Whereas in baseball, you could have one game on national television that day compared to the other leagues that could have up to three. So definitely going to be very uphill task at this point. And I don't fault the players for trying to ask for as much money as you want, because I think these players have a limited time window, especially the lower tier players, to earn as much money as you can with your abilities. It's just something's got to be done. And I'm afraid nothing will. But I'm very optimistic that it will have baseball.
I mean, I think both sides want to play. I don't think there's anyone that is just saying, screw it, we give up, we don't want to play this year. It's just, I don't know how long it's going to take before they can both come to an agreement on how they want to play. But I do think both sides want to get back to baseball. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't.
Yeah, and you think about this. The last time a strike happened, it was the beginning of the end for a franchise in the Montreal Expos in 94. And that was a team that was supposed to win the World Series that year. That's how good it was before the strike happened. So could that happen again? Could baseball lose another team? I don't know as much. I would have to know more about the financials about every franchise than I do. But there could be there are going to be long-term effects. I mean, already, and we're going to talk about this later in the podcast, is about the MLB draft only being 5 rounds. Well, that's going to have a long-term effect on a lot of kids as we look in the draft tonight, or tomorrow night, or Wednesday night. As we record this on Tuesday, it comes out on Wednesday. It's going to be Wednesday night on ESPN.
Yeah, well, let's just get right into that. That was our next topic anyway. We don't know when baseball will be back, but we do know that there is some baseball content coming this week as the MLB draft does begin this week. It's, like you said, only 5 rounds, shortened from 40 rounds to 5, and that is a huge, huge change. Only 160 players will hear their names called this week in the Major League Baseball draft.
They're like the 1,600 that typically get drafted.
Yeah, so a huge, drastic change. A drastic decrease in the amount of players that will be drafted this year. I feel like the MLB draft is hard to, unless it's something that you prepare for and follow all year, it's kind of hard to know who the top prospects are because usually there are so many rounds. A lot of players are drafted out of high school. But this year, a lot of the best players, the top prospects, are college players. You got the Arizona State slugger Spencer Torkelson, who is pretty much a consensus number one pick. They say he's going to the Tigers. I looked up his stats today. They're insane. He's such a good hitter. So Spencer Torkelson, probably the number one overall pick. There are a couple other names that are, you know, pretty locked in on where they're going to go. But I feel like the MLB draft, at least for me, it's always been one of the tougher drafts to follow and to know how it's going to go.
Yeah, definitely, because there's such a wide range of prospects. So you have, because you can draft high school players, so it's not just these collegiate players that you see. In the way college baseball works, it's so much more spread out in terms of talent compared to the NCAA or basketball and football in college athletics. It's so much more spread out in talent. I mean, look at this top five: Arizona State, Vanderbilt, Texas A&M, Georgia, New Mexico State, UCLA. Then you have a high school kid, Louisville, Minnesota, Arkansas, another high school, and then a bunch of high school kids. And then you get down to NC State, Tennessee, South Carolina, Oklahoma, and I think 23 Georgia is the first time repeated a school. So that's rarely does it happen. I mean, you had Ohio State go two kids in the top four in the NFL draft. So it is completely kind of different in how it's structured. But the good part for Major League Baseball, and the reason why it'd be really good if they could say, hey, look, we have a season coming up, is they're getting a primetime spot on ESPN tomorrow or Wednesday night for their draft. And that, I don't know when the last time that happened, because typically it's something that's on MLB Network. You'll check out here and there and you'll see where picks go. But they're getting the first round going to air on ESPN, which is big for baseball.
Yeah, that is really big, especially in a time like now when baseball needs as much coverage as it can get. I said I looked up Spencer Torkelson's stats. I have him up real quick. His freshman year at Arizona State, he batted .320 with a .440 on base percentage and 25 home runs. That's in 55 games, he hit 25 home runs. His sophomore year, he batted .351 with a .446 on base percentage and hit 23 home runs. So this guy is a beast. I mean, he is a power hitter. Whatever team gets him, likely the Tigers, as they have the number one overall pick, they're getting a really good player in Spencer Torkelson. So then Austin Martin is projected to go number two overall to the Baltimore Orioles. He comes out of Vanderbilt, and I've heard that he is the best pure hitter in the draft. Doesn't have a whole lot of power numbers. The most home runs he ever hit in a season was 10 in 2019. But his batting average, .338 his freshman year, .392 his sophomore year, and .377 this year in the pandemic-shortened season. I mean, That's great hitting right there. A 507 on base percentage this year in 16 games, but still 507, that's insane. So whoever gets this kid, probably the Baltimore Orioles, they have the number 2 overall pick. They're getting a great pure hitter. They had the best pick in last year's draft, the number 1 pick, Adley Rutschman, the catcher out of Oregon State. So if they can get Austin Martin this year out of Vanderbilt, I think the Orioles are building up their farm system and they should be able to compete in the coming years.
It's a system the Royals use locally, a lot of in-home talent, and that's how they kind of build. It's what won the Astros a World Series and became them why they're one of the most their dominant teams other than, you know, hitting trash cans of recent. So the draft is very important for baseball. It's important for any sport. I think the interesting part is the five rounds and the talent that kind of is going to get left out, because there's been a lot of great talent that has missed after the final rounds. Obviously, John Smoltz, Mike Piazza were two big names I saw. I think it was 11 Hall of Famers at least have been selected after the fifth round in the history of Major League Baseball. And you think about how many players are picked in that, that's pretty astounding. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens to a bunch of those kids. And I think the value of a high school kid kind of goes up because in this draft, because they can still opt out, obviously, and go to college. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how teams treat high school players compared to college players, where college players are a sure thing that they'll be in their system compared to a high school player who could maybe get selected in that fifth round and decide, I think I can improve my position by going to college.
What's really going to be unfortunate, though, is for, you know, with it only being five rounds, they can still sign an unlimited number of undrafted free agents after the draft is over, but the max amount of money they can pay them is, I think, $20,000 in signing bonuses. And if it was a longer draft, they would be getting paid way more than that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I think baseball is the first sport that's really been, like, you could see that's been affected by this. I think the NFL and the NBA have taken, like, just lesser salaries on the internal staff. But as for, like, players getting money, this is the first time for baseball that it's really been affected by them. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I think there's going to be a lot of great talent that's just going to be open for the market and what could happen.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting to watch over the next 2 days as the draft begins tonight, Wednesday night, and will conclude on Thursday. A player that we know a little bit more about, Virginia Tech's Ian Seymour, a junior pitcher for the Hokies, is ranked 93rd according to Baseball America and ranked 116th according to MLB.com. So out of 160 players that will get drafted this week, it seems pretty likely that he will be one of them. His stats this year, man, they are astounding. He struck out 40 batters in 20 and a third innings and had a 2.21 ERA, a 3-0 record in the shortened spring season this year for Virginia Tech. I looked it up because we talked about this a few weeks ago. The highest draft pick that Virginia Tech has ever had was Joe Saunders, who went 12th overall in 2002. So I don't think Seymour's going to go higher than that, but he will be one of the highest picks that they've had in team history if he goes in the third round like he's projected to.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, obviously seeing Ian up close. His progression has been insane. Norm Wood of the Daily Press wrote an article how he developed his fastball in the Cape Cod League, which is one of the best collegiate baseball leagues. So I think Ian's stock would have gone up even more the way he was playing. He definitely was improving his junior year. I think if they had a full season, he could have been even higher in the draft. And I think for him, a kid who's developed a lot over his time at Virginia Tech, it's going to be a rewarding experience to get drafted, and especially in a draft that's condensed talent, it shows how talented he is as a pitcher.
So best of luck to Ian Seymour this week. We hope to see him drafted. That would be good for Virginia Tech, good for the program, and good for him. You mentioned Norm Wood in the article that he wrote about Ian Seymour. I wanted to start something. I don't know if we'll do this every week, but, you know, it's kind of fun. For those of you that don't know, that aren't really that familiar with the way Twitter works, if you have a controversial if you have a controversial opinion, then you are likely to get what they call ratioed, which is where your tweet will have a lot more replies than it does retweets and likes. And so there's this thing called the triple crown ratio on Twitter, where you take the replies, the retweets, and the likes of a tweet, and you try to find a comparable baseball stat line with the batting average, the home runs, and the RBIs. So we're going to take a look at a Twitter triple crown ratio of the week. And today, or this week's tweet, belongs to Norm Wood. He had a tweet with 586 replies, 12 retweets, and 356 likes. And this was a tweet about Barstool Sports playing the NCAA football 14. Cat. Yeah, about Big Cat. I'm not really familiar with Barstool Sports, but
so I will set this up. So Big Cat during quarantine, who is part of one of the biggest sports podcasts in the world, is basically he did NCAA 14 video game dynasty as Coach Duggs, which was his coach, and he became the head coach of Tennessee, and he was playing in his first national championship appearance against Virginia Tech. So it became a big deal for Tech fans, obviously, being in the national championship game, which they went on to win, which, you know, for as Jeff and Jeff Fisher was their head coach. So, you know, it was a video game when that combo, Jeff Fisher and Virginia Tech winning national championships. We can make fun of our school that way. But he tweeted something on the lines of, I love playing NCAA 14, but me tweeting about a virtual national championship is not going to happen. And it led to an exchange with him and Big Cat. And so that's why the tweet blew up like it did.
Yeah, a lot of replies. Barstool Sports fans just came from anywhere and everywhere to blast Norm Wood on Twitter. And so, like I said, 586 replies, 12 retweets, 356 likes. And that stat line, that ratio, is most comparable to Hugh Duffy, who in 1894 hit 440 on the season with 18 home runs and 145 RBIs. That's as close as you're going to get, because there's no one that's hit in the 580s with 350 RBIs in a season, but that's as close as you're going to get. A 440 batting average, 18 home runs, and 145 RBIs is the most comparable stat line to Norm Wood's Twitter ratio. By the way, I'm on Team Norm in this whole Twitter thing. The whole thing is just crazy. I mean, there's still any tweet he sends out now, they're still coming at him.
But for Norm, I think that's really good, because he's like, if Barstool's one of, and Big Cat's one of the biggest things in sports, and Norm was associated with it, and it's not like Norm's wrong. And so, like, the fact that, like, Norm was now the punter of his Tennessee team, like, Norm, and Norm is a guy who can handle trolls very well and is really good at it, and it's kind of funny. And I think that's helping him a lot in this, is getting a really good rub, or like looking really cool right now. So Norm's one of the nicest guys you'll meet, interacting with him a couple times at a couple Tech games. And obviously he was a guest when I was in ESPN Blacksburg. So it's been pretty cool to see Norm kind of get a little own of his fans, because there's now an article on Barstool Sports about Norm Wood, which is really cool.
This is what we've resorted to in quarantine, with no sports, no real sports going on. This is what it has come to. This is real life now. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the best way to sum it up.
So we sent out a tweet before we started recording, asked if anyone had any comments or questions that they wanted us to talk about today. Andrew Wallace, who Trey knows from his time at ESPN Richmond, replied and said, "What's the latest on Mike Trout?" And we're not exactly sure what he means, but Mike Trout was drafted 10 years ago today. So there you go.
How about that? And also, I mean, he had an interview in Yahoo about basically he wants to play baseball, but he has a responsibility to keep baseball safe. And had the difficulty about coming back during these times. And also, playing simple, Mike Trout's the best player in baseball. And also, you want to hear us more talk about Mike Trout. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about player marketability, especially with Mike Trout and The Last Dance.
Yeah. Yeah, we can always find some time to talk about the GOAT, Mike Trout. Jim Bowden sent out a tweet that I've been thinking about, saying, you know, all the stuff that we're missing due to the players and the owners not being able to come to an agreement on how to play the season. We're missing Garrett Cole's debut with the Yankees. We're missing Mookie Betts' season with the Los Angeles Dodgers. And we're missing one of Mike Trout's prime seasons. I mean, he is possibly the greatest baseball player of all time, and we are missing one of his prime seasons due to these two sides not being able to come to an agreement. And it's sad, but that's why, you know, we got to hope that they can figure something out soon so that we can see all of these great players in 2020. All right, we're going to wrap up today's episode with another edition of our Hall of Fame candidacy evaluation. And Trey came up with today's candidate, David Wright, the former third baseman for the New York Mets. Trey, since you came up with David Wright, I'll let you go first.
Yeah, and honestly, I would have to think about it because you remember David Wright as being one of the best third basemen in baseball at his at the time. And it's just like, but then you forget he had that period where he just didn't play because of injuries. So it's definitely going to be interesting. I mean, all-time 296 average, 242 home runs, 970 RBIs, and 867 on base percentage. I would feel that he is. I think he was definitely maybe the best third baseman for a while, and he played on some bad teams. But it's going to be interesting to see kind of what happens to the late end of his career, because he went basically from 2016 to 2019 without playing. He's also from Virginia, so that's pretty interesting as well. He's from the 757.
Yeah, I mean, he had a really good prime, but yeah, those years where he was injured, and I think you have to consider it wasn't like an injury that happened from playing. He had spinal stenosis, and that's something that couldn't really have been prevented. That's just something that it's an unfortunate condition that he ended up with. And I think you kind of have to consider the path he was on before he started dealing with that. I mean, he was a 7-time All-Star, 2-time Gold Glove winner, 2-time Silver Slugger. His career batting average is .296. I think if it weren't for those last two seasons where he didn't play that many games and his batting average was way lower, I think he would have finished with a career batting average of at least .300, which would help his candidacy a lot. You know, the hits, around 1,700 hits, that's not really that great. 970 RBIs, it's decent. I think he was on the path to a Hall of Fame career, but it's just really unfortunate the injuries that he dealt with, and I think you really have to take that into consideration when you look at his Hall of Fame chances.
Yeah, it feels like he's had half a career kind of at one point. Like, granted, he played on some bad, bad baseball teams, like those Mets teams, but he did play in a World Series for part of it. It's just – it's kind of hard. I think statistically, if you look at his batting average and his slugging and that sort of thing, you're like, is this Hall of Fame worthy? I mean, he almost hit .300 in his career, and that's saying a lot. And so, like, it's definitely one of the weird ones where, like, I think he would have been if he didn't get hurt. I think that's the best way to put it. Like, I'm not 100% sure he might get in, but I think the unfortunate injury be the thing that holds him back.
I think one thing you also have to note is, other than designated hitters, third basemen are the least represented position in the Hall of Fame with 17 Hall of Famers. So it's tough to get into the Hall of Fame as a third baseman.
Absolutely. And maybe it's because that's the position in the infield that probably gets the least amount of rub or experience, I guess. I don't know, but it is still the hot corner, and David Wright was one of the best there.
Yeah, you know, I think if you look at his career from the intangible side, you know, the type of player he was, the leader, he was the captain of the Mets, he was the face of the Mets organization. I think if you take that into consideration, he'll definitely, you know, I mean, he's going to be in the Mets Hall of Fame. There's probably going to be a statue outside of Citi Field, but I don't know if he'll get into the Baseball Hall of Fame. I think that, you know, I'm going to be undecided on this one because I think it could go either way. I think if you look at the path that he was on before his injuries, he would have ended up a Hall of Famer, but he didn't get there because of the injuries. So I'm going to be undecided. I think it could go either way.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think my gut is telling me he won't, but I wouldn't be surprised if he did.
Yeah. Should have gotten Nathan LaPrete on here. I'm sure he would love this conversation.
He's going to be very critical of this conversation.
Probably, as all Mets fans would. Well, that's going to
be Andrew Alex. Shout out to another Mets fan.
Yeah. That's going to do it for today's episode of the Foul Ball Area Podcast. Trey, any big plans for the weekend?
No.
All right. That's all
right. I might be calling baseball on Sunday.
Oh, there you go. I'm jealous. I don't really have any plans either. You know, that's the quarantine life. But, you know, we got the draft this week. We'll watch that.
Well, we also have part one of the summer. Sosa and Mark McGuire was on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah, I'm definitely watching that on Sunday. Maybe we'll do another live stream after that.
Maybe we have to.
Yeah, we'll see. We will see. We'll let you all know if we decide to do that. Hopefully you'll tune in on Foul Ball Area Facebook page at Foul Ball Area. That's going to do it for today's episode of the podcast. Thank you all so much for listening to the latest episode of Foul Ball Area. Make sure to follow us on all our social media channels if you don't already, and stick around the website for a little bit. Check out all our recent blog posts. Trey's been doing a great job with the American League Best Season Series, so check those out while you're here at foulballarea.com. For Trey Lau, I'm Matthew Atkins. Thanks for listening.